I remember 9/11. We all remember 9/11. The attacks were horrifying, angering, fear-inducing, and wholly terrible. In the aftermath of those events, on September 11th, 2001, I felt no peace. Felt really no hope. I wasn't thinking about hope. I was confused. I was angry and even somewhat vengeful. I know that I was not alone. Publicly, I had a public stance that I felt like I had to take. Publicly, I tried to be a voice of calm, peace, and compassion. Inside, I really felt lost and troubled, angry and vengeful. In today's Bible reading, Jesus was saying goodbye to the disciples. And he had to know that they were feeling lost and troubled. Probably not vengeful, but at least lost and troubled. He had to know that calm, peace, and hope were far away from them. And he still said, "Peace I leave you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." And I am sure that after Jesus spoke those words, the disciples were still troubled and afraid. And I wonder if any of them thought or even spoke out loud, because I can imagine if I had been there, a fly on the wall, someone in the corner, I might have said, at least what I'm thinking, and I wonder if they did, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." But our hearts are already troubled. Do you think you can just fix things by saying, "Don't feel that way"? Are you kidding? We're troubled. We're afraid. In the aftermath of 9/11, folks were troubled and afraid. You know, folks are still troubled and afraid, and it's 10 years later. And I think, you know, that's intensely personal. The events of 9/11 on individuals, the feelings are intensely personal. But then I wonder, how can I even talk about how other folks feel? I have no firsthand experience of tragedy surrounding 9/11. I was not in New York. I was not at the Pentagon. I was not in Pennsylvania. I can't truly understand the sense of anger, sadness, and fear that folks who lost loved ones or experienced the attacks and the aftermath feel. I can only imagine the fear and troubledness that I feel are compounded and present, even if right below the surface for so many people. And I ask, what do any of us do with those feelings? Shouldn't they be lessened or maybe gone after 10 years? What about the hope? I preach about hope all the time. Christians, people who follow Jesus, we are people of hope. Shouldn't we have some in the aftermath, even 10 years later of 9/11? Jim Mose is the new executive minister for Wider Church Ministries in the United Church of Christ, and he says this. He wrote something in the last couple weeks. "Fear causes us to see the other as an enemy to be mistrusted, manipulated, and destroyed. Hope, on the other hand, welcomes all as neighbors with whom we seek understanding, reconciliation, and fellowship. Fear leads to revenge, while hope nurtures forgiveness. Fear perpetuates a never-ending cycle of violence, but hope seeks peace with justice." That last line, "Fear perpetuates a never-ending cycle of violence, but hope seeks peace with justice." I love that line. I love the sentiment of it, and I want to feel it inside, but I still say, but what about when you're still afraid and feeling hopeless? Does that mean that violence and injustice must follow? If fear perpetuates a never-ending cycle of violence. What do you do when you're still afraid? And then Ben Gass, he's executive minister for local church ministries. He says this, "The work of justice is to feel the immensity of the world's pain in its varied yet often hidden forms, to imitate God's deep and urgent love for those tender places, to understand the vulnerability of the undocumented immigrant, jobless parent, or bullied child, to empathize with the sick and uninsured, and to cast our votes with them in mind, to respond financially to the desperate needs of famine-stricken Somalis, people we will never meet, even as we make donations to address concerns much closer at home. The enormity of the tragedy we call 9/11 rattled and changed us, as well it should. But other enormous events, public and personal, social and systemic, local and global, also beg for our attention. The lingering and persistent challenge of 9/11 is whether we have the capacity to love that fully, that completely." Still troubled, still in fear, feeling the immensity of the world's pain. Okay, I'm starting to get it a little bit, because the fear that I know is still present, the anger that I know is still present, it is feeling the immensity of at least the pain of 9/11. And feeling the immensity of the pain of 9/11 means we can get a taste of the immensity of the pain of the world. Not that 9/11 had to happen to get there, and it shouldn't have happened, and I wish it didn't happen. But what do we do with it? Somehow, we have to try to not let the fear and troubledness paralyze us, but lead us to love, so that when we feel the immensity of the world's pain, it leads us to reach out to a world in pain, even as we suffer, even as we feel pain, even as we are troubled and angry. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Sometimes when I read those, I see them as a commandment from Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled, even if he said them softly, even if he said them with compassion. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. But they're not words that are a commandment to the disciples. They were, and they are, words of encouragement, words of hope, words that would provide much more comfort later, but maybe not then for the disciples. They're words that still may not provide comfort now, but will more and more as time goes on. They're not words from Jesus that say, "Do this because I said so." They're words from Jesus that say, "I'm offering this. I hope that you can feel it. I hope that you can grasp it. I hope that it is not too far away and that you can at least see it." 10 years after 9/11, I am hopeful, calm, and feel much at peace. I think most of us do. On this day, we're remembering, and there's the unease. There's some anger, some lingering fear. But for the most part, we live in hope, in peace. Well, we live at peace in our communities and close by. Not so much peace in our world, do we? I don't feel vengeful or angry, I think. But then when I say that, I feel this rumbling up, saying, "Oh, I'm putting on my public face again," and saying that I don't feel vengeful, and then underneath it's like, "Argh!" Because I want to get them still goes through my mind, and I think so many people's minds. My heart is still troubled. I know that at least part of me is afraid. I know that others feel the same. I know others are still more angry, more fearful. I know that too many still seek vengeance. But my prayer is that we will continue to work for justice and peace. Even as we feel the immensity of the world's pain, even as we feel anger and even vengeance in our hearts, that we will work for peace and for justice. Let us all imitate God's deep and urgent love for those tender places, for the places where we feel the immensity of the world's pain. Let us seek not to repay evil for evil, but continue to overcome evil with good. Linda Jaramillo, who's the Executive Minister for Justice and Witness Ministries of the United Church of Christ, she wrote something. She was reminded of the words of Mahatma Gandhi. I have seen children successfully surmounting the evils, the effects of an evil inheritance. And that is due to purity being an inherent attribute of the soul. Let me read that again. I have seen children successfully surmounting the effects of an evil inheritance. That is due to purity being an inherent attribute of the soul. And then Linda continues reflecting on that. As we approach this 10th anniversary, today as we are at the 10th anniversary, my prayer is that in our disbelief, we will strive to overcome the fear and hatred that has resulted for the sake of our children and the purity of their souls. I also pray that Jesus' words here from John chapter 14, the ones that offered comfort to us and to the disciples, will continue to bring comfort to all who still are afraid, to all who are still lost, to all who are still troubled. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for offering peace even when we don't understand how it can be. Thank you for offering comfort when we don't think it's possible. Help us to be comforted and to work together through the immensity of the world's pain for justice and for peace. Amen.